Thank you, Lord. I love worshiping the Lord with you like that. That was just wonderful to really come into his presence and worship him. I believe that part of our ministry and the ministry of the whole church is to worship in spirit and in truth, and that really, to move our hearts to actually see Jesus and worship him. And it is wonderful. So thank you, Father, for a worshiping church. We're growing in it, aren't we? Growing in that ability and the grace of the Holy Spirit to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you have a word in season for us. And we thank you, Lord, for just the abandonment of our lives to you through singing and worshiping. It's such words that actually affect us deeply, to ask you to take our lives, that we surrender everything to you. And it's a joy, Lord, to surrender to such a wonderful Lord and Savior. Thank you that it isn't a burdensome thing, it isn't a hard thing, it's a joy. And I pray that as we surrender to your word is exalted above all things, your word is living and powerful. As we surrender to what your word speaks to us this morning, we thank you, Father, that you're able to work out your purpose in us and through us for the glory of the only one who deserves it, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, could you look at 2 Peter chapter 3? And verse 18. But grow. Say grow. Okay, that's something that is actually an ongoing process, isn't it? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It's so easy to stop growing. It's easier to stop growing spiritually than it is to grow. Tell somebody next to you, that's a blinding revelation. It's easier to stop growing than to grow. Why? Because you need to be receiving things from God to grow. A plant can't grow in and of itself. It needs nourishment, it needs water, it needs the sun. And we need to be receiving from God and his life in order for us to grow in the knowledge. And I love this. Peter says, the main thing you are to grow in is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's something that is amazing, that when we get born again, when we receive Jesus, we're born again, become new creations. He comes to live in us through his Spirit. He gives us a new heart, a new spirit. He puts his Spirit within us to cause us to walk in his ways. In a sense, we already have everything we need because Jesus has come to live in us. And the Bible says we have everything we need for life and godliness. But we are to grow up into all that we have in Christ. So we're not growing to get something. We're growing because the Christ in us wants to grow in our minds, our souls, our maturity, so that we become more and more like Jesus, to increase, to continue, to move, to advance in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you can become a Christian and still be fairly you can be like a plant that doesn't grow. You might have Christ in you, but you're not growing. Yes, and so you're stunted. Your growth is stunted. But Peter says, grow in the grace. What's the grace? The unearned favor and blessing of God and the knowledge of the person, Jesus Christ. There is a person that is central to the Christian faith. And his name is Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no Christianity. Which is why Paul, when he prayed for the church, and his vision for the church was that we would actually see and have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. And Paul would pray for the church, and it is the perfect prayer. It is the spirit-given prayer for every church, every local body, every member of the body of Jesus Christ. And that is that we will have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So in other words, you can't know God without the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to you. You can't know God just with your brain. You can't know God just by reading scriptures. You need the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you as you read the Word of God. And so Paul prays probably one of the most important prayers for your life and for us as a church is that God give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the purpose of that is that we will know him better. That's what the scripture says. So that you may know him better. So to know God, we need revelation. We need the wisdom given by the Holy Spirit. And that comes simply through asking. Ask and you will receive. But if you don't ask, you will plateau. You will not grow. You won't increase. Because knowing God is a revelation, is a spiritual thing. God himself is spirit. And we can only know him through the power of the Holy Spirit at work. God has given each one of us as new creations with Christ in us an inbuilt desire to know him. When you were born again, if you struggled to follow Jesus, tried for a bit and then left, maybe we should ask a question, were you born again? Because when you're born again, you want Jesus. It's actually the result of the new birth. You actually want him. And you want to follow him. And you want to be with his people. And you want to grow in the knowledge of him. You love the word of God. You love spiritual things. Why? Because you are a different person now. The old has gone and the new has come. So to twist somebody's arm to get to know Jesus once they're saved is actually counter kind of Bible teaching. Because if you're born again, the Spirit himself in you will cause you. The Spirit in you will cause you to want Jesus. I love the psalmist. I think it's in Psalm 23. He says, my heart says, seek his face. I say, I will seek his face. Now, I love that. Because it's saying my spirit, my heart is saying, seek God's face. But then the soul, the person, the response of that person. So it's not just a spiritual response, it's I'm going to seek God. It starts in your spirit and then it becomes something that you say, yeah, I want to do that. Now you and I both know that God can do that in you and you go, I don't want to. So you can actually cancel out the desire of the spirit on the inside. You know that, don't you? Because you can walk in the flesh rather than in the spirit. But each one of us have in us, if we have Christ in us, a desire to know God. A hunger to grow in the knowledge of our amazing Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the amazing thing is that our desire grows the more we're exposed to Him. We grow when we get exposed to Jesus, when we see Him, when He's revealed. It's like, as soon as I see Him, I want more. As soon as I read something in the Word and it becomes light and revelation to me, I think, Lord, You're amazing. I read more Word with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I see more of Jesus, the Bible, the person to see. All the way through the Bible is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. It is written to reveal God's plan of salvation, which is a person, Jesus, the Son of God. His presence, if we experience Him, we want more. And so if we're not growing in the knowledge of Him, it will mean that actually we plateau and are quite happy with where we're at in what we know about Jesus. I'm cool with that. I know Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. He's done some miracles for me. I know it. I'm fine. But if we plateau, we don't grow. And we don't become mature sons of God. We are sons of God through faith, but we are to grow up into maturity in Christ. And what does that mean? To be a mature believer means to look like, act like, speak like, love like Jesus. Amen? That's what maturity is. It isn't going old. Maturity in the Christian life is being like Jesus. Just because you got grey hair doesn't mean... No comment. No comment. What matters is, to God, is that we grow up into all things in Christ Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians says this, and I love this because it is this ongoing process of change that the Lord works in us as we seek Him. That is so exciting. If you're bored, you haven't seen Him recently. If you're bored in your relationship with the Lord, if you hit a dry spot, it's time to see Him. It's time to see something fresh. God, reveal Jesus in a fresh way to my heart so that I can be so inspired by what I see in this amazing Savior and Lord. I don't ever expect to be bored in this Christian life. I've done some boring work. I've had mundane things to do. Life is full of things we have to do. But I'm not bored as a Christian. Why? Because I'm seeing Jesus. I'm growing in the knowledge of Him. And He is never... He is my pursuit. I pursue Him. I seek Him. He is the goal of the Christian faith. Jesus. In heaven, we will all bow and worship the Lamb who was slain for the sins of the world. There is one focus of heaven. Behold the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world. And you will not be bored seeing Him. For eternity, it won't be kind of same old. The worship, even though it seems like it's the same old, you know, in heaven, and I'm not being disrespectful here. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They say the same thing all the time, and I'm thinking, is that forever? Just those words? Is that it? But they're seeing more all the time. They're seeing, and every time they see Him, they respond. Holy, holy, awesome. Glory, power, wisdom, majesty, strength belongs to our God forever and ever and ever. Why? Because they're not bored. They're not bored with worshipping Him. They're seeing Him. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, says that now the Lord is the Spirit, capital S, God the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Do you know He set your heart free? The Spirit in you. Jesus has set us free, and His Spirit lives in you and causes you to run in freedom in the ways of God. You're free to run for Jesus in your heart. The Lord is the Spirit. Where is the Spirit? In you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. You've got more freedom on the inside than you've ever experienced. Because the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, lives in each, every one of us. And it says, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or behold the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So Scripture speaks about anyone who has turned to Christ has this face-to-face relationship with God. Because the new covenant is even better than what Moses had. Because Moses didn't have Christ in him. He didn't have, in the Old Testament, sins were covered by the sacrifice of animals. Now sins are removed by the precious blood of Jesus. We are made righteous with His righteousness. And so we are totally innocent and unashamed, free from condemnation before Him. Because of Jesus. So when we behold Him, we behold Him because of Jesus. Not because of anything that we do, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And the veil in the temple, there used to be a veil, there used to be a curtain, has been removed. There's free access through Jesus to the Father to see and to worship the Lord of all majesty. But it says, as we behold, as we look at Him. I think this is brilliant because so many people try and change themselves. I shouldn't bother. Because anything you try and do won't last. But if you behold Him, He changes you. And if God changes you, He does a perfect and lasting work. We are being transformed as we behold, look, see Jesus. And we see Him, as I've already mentioned, through revelation, the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus in the Word. We see Him in worship. When we worship in spirit and truth. We see Him when we pray. When you pray, you go into your room and your Father, who is in the secret place, God's there when you pray. Hang on, can I just say that again? Who's in there with you? Okay, we just have to have our eyes open to see. Pray for the Spirit, wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Him. God, you're here, I want to see you. Open my eyes to see you. When we pray, when we worship, God's here in you. Open my eyes to see it, Lord. In the body of Christ, gathered here today. Not a mini bit of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. All-powerful God is on the inside of each one of us. God is here. And as we behold Him, Jesus, we are changed. Oh, we are changed. And you know, I can be a bit impatient because I want to go from one degree to a massive leap. But, you know, it's process, isn't it? I'd like to be completely different than I am today. I know that in Christ I'm perfect, but my goodness me, there's a whole lot to do still of being changed to be like Jesus in every way. But he does the work as I look with the eyes of faith. He has the power to change me. His face shines on me and you when we come and worship. He's not grumpy. He's not having a bad day. Because of Jesus, you have found grace in his sight. Do you know how important that is? Favor of God is towards you. That means you have God's smile. Because of Jesus, God is smiling. I just love to think in his glory, majesty, awe, he's still like this. They're my kids. They're my family. They're my sons. They belong to me. These are mine. I love these guys. His favor is upon us. You know, it's impossible to remain unchanged in his presence. Think about it. Impossible. We're talking about God, who made everything we see and everything we don't see. It's impossible to remain unchanged. But he becomes more and more irresistible the more we look at him. Irresistible. And if you're at a point in your Christian life where you know you've stopped growing, and it's good to admit it at times, you know that Jesus, more and more of his glory, isn't being seen in your life, your Father would say to you, come, I want to reveal Jesus to you. Come and look. And as you look, I'm going to change you. And you're going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. He welcomes you from static into change. From being unable to do something to having his power and grace to do it. All because of his presence. And so God's question for all of us today, for every believer, are we satisfied or are we captivated by him? Honestly, because you know we can be really religious after being in church for a few years. Oh no, I'm captivated. I come to the meetings. It's about Jesus. Are you seeing more and more? Growing up in the knowledge of him so that you've got something fresh about Jesus to bring to every person that you're meeting. That it's not from 20 years ago God said this. But you've got something from God for the day. And it's so alive. He's so alive to you that when you speak, people see, hey guys, they're really experiencing that. Rather than, well, the word says, brother, hang on a minute, what's that reference? But you're a living epistle, known and read by all men. Why? Because they're seeing Jesus in reality through you. As we see him. That's why Paul said, I count all things a loss for the sake of knowing him. What does that mean? It means the things you used to value and used to be a bit of a problem to you because they used to get your attention. I don't know whether it's wealth or power or prestige or popularity or needing to be in the limelight or I don't know. If you need to be in the limelight, you've got the wrong light. Jesus is in the limelight. And all these things. But when you see him, you're like, who gives? Who cares? It's Jesus. What's church about? Jesus. What's your life about? Jesus. What's worship about? Jesus. It's all about. And when you see him, you kind of get less and less wanting all the stuff of life, which you can't take to eternity anyway. Unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord's building something, and that means Jesus, then it's just rubbish. It's going to burn up. Nothing will last. And Paul was able to say, I count everything a loss for the sake of knowing him. What a pursuit. You remember when the Israelites came out of Egypt? And when they left Egypt, they were delivered out of slavery and out of bondage. And they were to go through the wilderness very quickly, but because of unbelief, they didn't. They spent 40 years there. But God set up a system of worship, really, and he asked Moses to build a tabernacle. And that means tent. And all the tribes of Israel were to camp round this tent, which was symbolic of the Lord dwelling in that place. And there was a box overlaid with gold called the Ark, which actually was the Shekinah glory, or the presence of God in the midst of his people. And how the people used to gather at night, and everything used to be, the whole focus of the nation was God. And the whole focus of his church is Jesus. Jesus in the middle of everything, the focus of our lives. And inside, Moses was asked to make a lampstand full of gold. There was golden lampstands, there were golden pillars, even with crowns, gold sculpted. There was everything, every vessel was gold. But on the outside, it was animal skins. And so this tent looked pretty ordinary and nothing from the outside. But as soon as you went in, you'd go, oh, because it'd be gold everywhere. Plus, of course, the awesome presence of Almighty God. And it was a beautiful place where God dwells. Now, in John's Gospel, let's just turn here, because it speaks about Jesus being almost, can I just use the word, tabernacling amongst us. He became God's tent, God's dwelling place. God, the Son, became man. And the tent wasn't made of animal skins, it was made of human skin. And in John's Gospel, I love this. I love to think about God, like in the Old Testament, the tent with God dwelling on the inside. Didn't look much outside, but on the inside, glorious. Jesus, the Son of God, comes. And he's just an ordinary, looks like an ordinary man. Nothing would make you go, oh, wow. Just ordinary. And it says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word, that's Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Without him, nothing was made. This is God, eternal creator. The Word became flesh. Oh. I don't think we could ever get to the end of knowing the awesomeness of our God becoming man. I mean, how humble. What humility to stoop so low to take on the form of a human being. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling, tabernacled, was a tent among us. And then the writer says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. If you know Jesus today, you have seen his glory. Because you can't see Jesus without him being revealed. And these guys said, everybody else looked at a Jew walking around Israel, eating, sleeping, got friends with him most of the time, creating a bit of a stir most of the time. But we saw his glory. We saw. We had Jesus revealed in front of our eyes, and we knew that he was the Son of God. Blessed are you if you have seen what your natural eyes will never see, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, you've got to be on the inside to talk like that. You can't be on the outside, animal skins, human skin. The outside looks plain ordinary. But on the inside, God is here. Everything done on the outside, you'll see no glory. But when the Holy Spirit in you reveals Jesus, you shut out your natural intentions to feel, touch, smell, hear with these ears, and you go on inside, you will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I remember I once went to Rome with a special aunt of mine, and we never stopped talking about this. We always remember this particular place. Now, in Rome, there's a lot of standout stuff to see. There's the Colosseum. It's a wonderful city break. You know, if you ever get to go, it's a lovely place to go. The architecture, if you like grand, St. Peter's, it's amazing. And next week, the whole church, we're in Rome. There's some standout stuff that you don't want to miss. And we were walking down this busy street towards something that was advertised. And we saw this kind of dirty wooden door of this place of worship. But it was such an unattractive building for Rome. Just red bricks, I think. It was nothing to make you want to go in. And I think we just looked at each other. Go on, let's just go inside. Let's just go in. We opened the door. And honestly, it was the best place we saw in Rome. We stepped in and went, can you believe how beautiful? Who'd have thought we'd see behind that door? We'd come in and see this. It's so amazing. We walked around in awe. You see, we could have stayed on that dirty street with all the traffic, the crowds, or we could have gone in. And I think our relationship with God is a bit like that. We can stay on the outside in the busyness of life and not enter and go in and see his glory. We can even pray, come to worship, sing, but we're not seeing him. We haven't entered. We're just singing because the leaders are leading us to sing. Oh, God forbid that the one who died for us and made heaven available for us, a person for us to know and experience and be changed by, becomes just a song we sing. And not a person we know. I believe our worship as a church has the possibility of being extraordinary. If you and I, not just me, you and I enter. Like that tabernacle with animal skins, go in and pray, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Because we can be like those tourists, walking along, seeing it. Ah, no, let's just go where we've got people to see, places to go, friends to meet. There's always stuff, but we're not going in. Encountering, having life-changing encounters with Almighty God. You see this worship team up here? I love them very much. They're amazing. Devoted. They don't give you access to God. Jesus said he's the way. The songs and their worship help us. But we can only enter by faith in the blood of Jesus, because Jesus has made the way for us to come boldly before his holy presence, before the holiest of all places, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So the only way you can go in and enter is by faith in Jesus. What is faith? Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. What does that mean? Faith in worship means I'm sure I'm going to meet with him. I'm certain I'm going to see him. That's faith. Not, I'm going to sing a few songs. Oh, we've had that one 3 times running now. It's coming out your brain. Your relationship with the Lord is coming out of this. Oh, it's a bit loud this morning. What about worship? What about Jesus? Hello? Jesus died for us, rose again so we could see him, know him, and grow in the knowledge of him. And think of heaven like that. Oh, such a silly, small analogy in comparison with heaven, but that church in Rome. This looks like an ordinary building. We look like, oh, it's a band. We're not a band, we're a worship. Worshippers. Who actually happen to play an instrument? Who are the church? Worshippers. Who play with their instrument? Your voice. Your hands, your body. Given. You know, in heaven, they're using their bodies. The elders are casting their crowns. Hang on, they're not just doing this. They're bowing, prostrate before the Lord. And then they get back up, and then they see him, and then they have to go down again because they worship. And then they get back up. In fact, they've got some crowns, but they keep throwing it before the Lord of glory because they keep seeing him and they keep responding. They see him. And they physically change. They move to worship the Lamb that was slain for them. Worship isn't static. In fact, it's so loud, I think you would be surprised. There is an omnipotence, a revelation of the Almighty. All of heaven singing, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns forever and ever. And all of heaven is shouting praises to the one. They're not remaining Anglican, Baptist, Kingdom Faithers. They are worshipping the Lamb. And you can read it in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 19, you can read it. Revelation chapter 1, the worship of heaven that is going on today. You see, Jesus is no longer in a human tent. He died so that we could have access. He rose again so we could have his life. He rose again and is ascended and seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And all will bow in worship before this one, who we call my Lord and my Savior, my God and my King. Our first ministry, guys, it isn't to your husband, your wife, your job, your business, yourself. It's to minister to the one who died and rose again. It's a ministry, a call to give honor and worship and praise. Not just on the run, but finding time to go in. It includes on the run. It's important we give thanks in all times and all circumstances. Jesus is Jesus everywhere to us. You know, we don't cut him off because we had a time with him and then we go and have time without him. Our lives are to be time with Jesus. Now therein lies a revelation of just time with Jesus is your time, your life. But there are times when we really enter in and draw near. And he will come. He says he promises to draw near to those who draw near to him. Do you believe it? Because, you see, faith matters in worship and praise and prayer. If I draw near to God, he will draw near to me. I'm coming, Lord, because I need to see you. I need you to change me. I need to see you in such a way that I walk through my life with an awe of God. I walk careful that I don't grieve you. We know we shouldn't, but actually when I meet with him, I don't want to. Oh, he makes the changes just as we have the best ministry on earth looking at him. Praise the Lord for this privilege to enter the most holy. If you're born again this morning, all you need to know is that Jesus has made a way for you to come. Without him you can't come, but if you have him, through his blood we can come before him. I have on my wall, I'm going to finish in a minute, and we're going to just spend a few moments worshipping him in my bedroom. And it's not a very clear picture. I didn't take it. I'm not saying that I'm a very good photographer, because I'm really not. But when we were in Mongolia, we were at a meeting, and I think it was out in the outback, really pioneer ground for the gospel. And these 17 people were kneeling. I asked them to kneel if they wanted to receive Jesus Christ after preaching the gospel. And I have a photo of one little girl blown up on my bedroom wall. It's my most prized photo that I have. Because she's 6 years old, I would say, five or six. Beautiful. The Mongolians are beautiful. And she's kneeling, and she's like this, with her eyes closed. And she's receiving Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord. And I know she's seeing him. I know she's seeing him. In that photo, whenever I see it, she's seeing him. Children can see him. Children see him. We're raising a generation of children. But let's model it. But not just that. Let's be changed by him. Let's behold him. Let's not forsake the grace that has been given to us to meet with, encounter, and have life-changing experiences. And I'm going to finish, not because I want to say what I have is any more significant to what you have, because whatever Jesus does in us is significant. And a lot of the times when I worship him, I do it just by faith. I don't have a vision, But I do see the Lord. I picture the Lord according to Revelation. I use the book of Revelation so that whenever I'm worshiping him and the truth that we sing in the words, I see him with those words. He's being revealed to me, and I ask the Lord to reveal those truths to me as I worship. But I was recently worshiping the Lord, and I was on my knees, on my face before God. And one thing that happens to me usually, I always see his feet first. And for me, it's significant. I've looked into his eyes and I've seen other aspects of the Lord, but I always start at his feet. And I actually think that that's the beginning of worship. You see the scars. And his feet are scarred. His hands and his feet and his sides still bear the scars of the sacrifice for my sin. At that moment, it's just about me. He died for me. And I look at his feet and I just, he's holy. I'm bowing in worship, but thanking him, pouring out my gratitude and thanks for his blood, his suffering for my sin. But in this time of worship, I suddenly saw the crowns. He's crowned with many crowns, Scripture says. And for me, they looked gold crowns. And this is just a spiritual vision that I was having. It's according to the truth of God's word. You know, you can base that on Revelation, seeing the crowns with many crowns. And then I saw this gold liquid being poured into my heart. And I knew it was the essence of God. It was the Holy Spirit being poured into me, sustaining, enabling, empowering me to serve him. Because, beloved, we can't serve him without him. I can't do anything without him. And the more I go on, I really, really know I can't do anything without him. And I could see this liquid. I'm sure, for me, it symbolized the power of the Holy Spirit coming into my spirit. And I knew that I was empowered to serve him. And I said, Lord, as I live, as I give, as I serve to glorify you, I want you to be glorified with everything you give me. And then I saw the gold as I was worshiping from him to me, and it went back into his crown. I'll never forget what I saw. I saw the gold came to me. All things are by him, through him, and for him. To him be the glory forever. And I saw whatever he gives me to serve him, it's for his glory. It's not for me. It's for him. And you know, there's so much more to see. John was in the Spirit and he saw. And it's not that we kind of get all kind of like, I'm not being competitive about visions, for heaven's sake. Let's be pursuit of knowing him. His word, Jesus is the word. Otherwise, if you just know him in worship without the word, you will go off track. You need both the word and the spirit. But Jesus said, my Father's looking for worshippers who will worship in spirit, by the power of the spirit and in truth. And when we do, behold him, take our eyes off ourselves, the things of this world, and look to him, we're being changed. One degree of glory. And whose glory is it? It's his. It's the character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the ability of the Spirit to serve him, to speak for him, to follow him, not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So, let's go in. Let's not stand on the outside observing. Let's go into the most awesome place in the universe, which is a child's privilege to go. Children of God, you're called up into meeting with God. I would say to you that if you are silent, the danger is you will lock down in yourself and not give to the Lord. So when I enter with praise and thanksgiving, which means I vocalize, say out loud. And I think, can I just say, I believe there are times when we, as Pastor Andrea led this morning, to shout our praises. But sometimes it would be great not to have to lead, but for you to do it without us saying it. There's always going to be leadership in the church, just to encourage and to lead in the ways of God. But thanksgiving and praise and joining in with the atmosphere of heaven and worship. Let's not be told. Let's live. Let's live worshiping and encountering Him. So, like that church in Rome. I'm so glad I never walked on. I'm so glad I went in. And I'm so glad we can all go in to God's presence today. Through Jesus and his blood. Shall we stand together? Thank you, Lord.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.